What a joy it is to be here this morning with you and to see all of you with us. Beautiful songs led this morning, led so well. Soul-stirring, to be sure, and I appreciate that so very much. Beautiful prayer. How beautiful and fitting to start the Lord's Day and our worship. In Numbers, the 11th chapter, and verse 1, the scripture records, "When the people complained, it displeased the Lord. And the Lord heard it, and his anger was kindled. And the fire of the Lord burnt among them and consumed them that were in the uttermost parts of the camp. And the people cried unto Moses, and when Moses prayed unto the Lord, the fire was quenched. And he called the name of the place Taberah, because the fire of the Lord had burnt among them. And the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting. And the children of Israel also wept again, and said, Who shall give us flesh to eat? We remember the fish when we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers and the melons, and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. But now our soul is dried away. There is nothing at all besides this manna before our eyes. And the manna was as coriander seed, and the color thereof as the color of bdellium. And the people went about and gathered it and ground it in mills or beat it in a mortar and baked it in pans and made cakes of it, and the taste of it was as the taste of fresh oil. And when the dew fell upon the camp in the night, the manna fell upon it. Then Moses heard the people weep throughout their families, every man in the door of his tent, and the anger of the Lord was kindled greatly. Moses also was displeased. And Moses said unto the Lord, Wherefore hast thou afflicted thy servant? Wherefore have I not found favor in thy sight, that thou layest the burden of all this people upon me? It was a sad time in Israel. They'd been freed from the land of Egypt. Over the years, I've read this passage over and over again. Many years ago, my father-in-law pointed out something that I had overlooked and didn't catch in my reading, and that's verse 4. The Bible said the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting, and the children of Israel also wept again. The problem with this situation was brought about by the Egyptians that were with them. When Israel left the land of promise, they did not leave alone. There were those who were attached to them. There were those who came with them. And the Bible called this the mixed multitude. They are the ones, the Bible said, that fell a-lusting. And because of this, we see the children of Israel also weeping and asking for flesh to eat. When Israel left the land of promise, they were not completely separate. And the results were devastating. In 2 Corinthians, the 6th chapter and verse 14, the Bible said, Paul is writing to us, Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. And I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. We often think about the need for us to be separate from those in the world, those who are unbelievers, those who are disobedient to God. And we sometimes overlook the blessing that God gives us when we are indeed separate. Even from the very beginning, there were things that the followers of God had to be separate from. In the Old Testament, we see Adam and Eve had a law that separated them from the forbidden fruit. Noah was separated by the flood from a great and wicked world. Abraham was to be separate from his kinsmen, from his family. In Genesis 12 and 1 through 3, the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Israel, as a people, was to be separate from other nations. May I say today, God calls upon his children to be separate so that he may bless them. If we obey and adhere to God's laws of separation, then we will be blessed as was Noah and Abraham and Israel. But if not, we will be cursed, even as Adam and Eve and Israel, when they refused to obey God's laws of separation and intermingled with other nations. There should be a big difference in us before and after conversion. The difference is going to be dependent upon how well we adhere to and obey God's laws of separation. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. We are to be separate from some people. We need to make new friends and stay close to those who are faithful. We're to be separate from wicked and ungodly associates. Come out from among them, God declares. Wicked friends will surely ruin our soul. In 1 Corinthians 15 and 33, Paul said, be not deceived, evil communications, or as the American Standard says, companionships, corrupt good manners, or again, the American Standard says morals. Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. When we make partners of thieves in our businesses, we're going to pay for that. I had a companion, a friend, you would say. He was a funeral director. His business was destroyed because of his partner in the business when it was found that he was bringing drugs in. You see, if you have the wrong person for a business partner, that can destroy not only him, but you as well. We may have to work under the same roof at a factory with some ungodly people. We may have to go to school with some unbelievers, ungodly people, who do not have the knowledge of God. But we do not have to cater to them. We do not have to make companions out of them. We are to come out from among them and be ye separate. Now, he's not asking for us to move off to some island somewhere where we're away from everyone else. But we are to be a separate people within the countries we live in. Be careful who your friends are. Your friends can make you a better person, or your friends can drag you down. When you think of the sins that you've committed in your life, the things that you were taught were wrong, the things you believed were wrong, the things you knew were wrong, and yet you violated God's will, how often was it a friend, a companion, a schoolmate that encouraged you to do it? And so you see the danger of ungodly friends. They will cost you your children. In 1 Peter 4 and verse 1, Peter said, forasmuch then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise in the same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin, that he should no longer live the rest of his life, the rest of his time in the flesh, to the lust of men, but to the will of God. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries, wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. How often is it when we change, our friends look at us, and they don't understand us. They think we're strange. They may even think you're weird because you're different from them. And yet this is what God calls us to be. We are to be separate from sin. And oh, what a blessing it is when we make good companions, good friends, friendships with members of the church, who can strengthen us and help us to be separate from sin. And there's the next thing we're blessed in. When we separate from sin, we have a new behavior. And that behavior is indeed a blessing to us. The new man in Christ hath put away old things, and all things have become new to him. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Paul said in Romans 6:6, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that is with Jesus, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. We must separate ourselves from sin. We must strive to be holy, even as our Father, which in heaven is holy. In Ephesians 4:17, Paul said, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their hearts, who being past feeling, have given themselves over unto lasciviousness. Now there's a big 8-cylinder word. Unless I'm preaching, I don't think I ever use that on a daily basis. I don't think I've ever heard someone use that on a daily basis. What is this great word? Lasciviousness. It sounds bad. And so, especially when I first started preaching, I would have to turn to the dictionary and look it up. I would look, see what Thayer had to say about it, what Vines had to say about it, so that I could get a grasp upon this word. It is defined as filthy talking, indecent bodily movements, such as cheerleaders and dancing, unchaste handling of males and females, whether you call it sparking or spooning or whatever else you might refer to it, when you get out there and, as Brother Barney used to say, you're wrapped up like two lovesick snakes, that's lasciviousness. And as one fellow put it so plainly, keep your hands off of her. She's not yours yet. Keep your hands off of him. He's not yours yet. Shamelessness, unbridled lust, impious. He goes on to say, they've given themselves over to this, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ. If so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you may put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. You've changed. You've changed for the better. Oh, dear friends, look at those who live in sin. I see criminals in the newspaper at home, and they're old. And I don't mean that to be disrespectful of old people. Old people are beautiful. But the problem is, these are 30-year-old, 70-year-olds. They've taken drugs and it's destroyed their health. I see alcoholics who look like they're 80 years old to find out they're only 40. These things in the world destroy our health. They are not, oh, but look at the blessing of being separate unto God and living a godly, wholesome life. What a blessing it is to us. What a change it makes in us. We are to remain separate from sin, and to do so, we may have to do some running. In 2 Timothy 2:22, Paul said, flee also youthful lust, but follow after righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. The word flee here has the same root as persecution. Paul pursued after the church. He persecuted them. He sought them out. And that is the way we're to be with sin, but in the other direction. We're to run from it. We're to flee from it. We're to get away from it. And to avoid sin, that is exactly what we have to do. We may have to do some resisting. An amazing verse to me is James 4:7. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. When Michael the archangel took on the devil, you remember that he did not bring a scathing rebuke against him, But rather he said, the Lord rebuke thee. Remember when Jesus was tempted and he resists the temptation through the power of God's word, every time saying it is written, and finally the devil left him. This verse says if we as Christians are faithful to God, we submit ourselves first and foremost to him, and then if we resist the devil, we resist his temptations, we refuse to give in, he will flee. He will run from us just as we would run from evil. What a blessing then when we resist and the tempter leaves us for a while. We may have to give up some things, even some things that may not be wrong in themselves, but they could be hurtful to a weak brother or sister. And love demands that we are looking out for our brother and sister. In 1 Corinthians 8 and verse 11, Paul said, and through thy knowledge shall the weak brother perish for whom Christ died. But when you sin so against the brethren and wound their weak conscience, you sin against Christ. Wherefore, if meat make my brother to offend, I will eat no flesh while the world standeth, lest I make my brother to offend. And again in Romans 14 and 21, he said, it is good neither to eat flesh nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth or is offended or is made weak. Please notice three things. Things whereby your brother stumbles, he sins, he is offended, cut off from Christ, or he's made weak. He may not leave the church. He may not become guilty of partaking of the evil thing, but you may make him weak. You may weaken her by taking things that are a liberality, things that we are allowed to do, such as eating meat. And yet, we may weaken them. Christians are to be strong, not weak. And so, see the blessing again. That God blesses us when we're separate as he would have us to be. We don't weaken one another. We strengthen one another. We become stronger ourselves and better able to defend the truth and live as we should. Paul's advice in 1 Thessalonians 5 and 22 is abstain from all appearance of evil. Now, you can say that means it looks like it's evil. And certainly that fits in the word there of appearance. Or you can say, when evil appears, and that would fit as well. Whether it's when evil appears, or whether what we're doing looks evil, Paul said, abstain. Don't do it. We're to be separate in what we teach. Separate in doctrine. We have a new teaching. We oppose error, and we now have the doctrine of Christ. And that is such a blessing. We don't have to be confused with all the myriad doctrines of men that toss us about to and fro. But we have one truth, God's word. It is the final authority on everything. And so, turning to it, we are blessed indeed by being separate from error. The world is polluted, the Bible says, with the doctrine of devils. 1 Timothy 4 and verse 1 and 2. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. This is what there is in the world. Lies, hypocrisy, seared consciences, doctrines of devils. We must not deceive ourselves into thinking we can exist in a hotbed of teachings of man and all will be well with our soul. I'm constantly amazed at the ignorance of people in the world who think they know Jesus, who think they know God, who think they know the Bible, and are woefully ignorant. Some of our little children know better than that. Went to the doctor's the other day. The man that was checking out my heart said, John the Baptist was a naked man running around in the wilderness. Not one word of that in the Bible. That was his view of it, though. What happened? He'd been listening to people in the world. He'd been listening to things that people said, rather than turning to the Bible and seeing what it said, not adding to it or taking away from it. We cannot constantly listen to people in the world, even religious people in the world, and think that we won't be tainted by it. There's not an ounce of truth in that kind of thinking. Think of those who've left us. Those who once named the name of Christ, but have gone back into the world of false doctrines. One of the marks that I find, without fail, they've been listening to the wrong person. Years ago, a very dear friend was up preaching, and he was talking about his ministry. Alarm bells went off. Good preacher. Not with us anymore. You see, he'd been listening to people in the world. He'd been listening to religious leaders. His wife had been listening to religious leaders. And it wasn't very long till he went right along with them. And that's how it happens. Rather than listen to sound doctrine that keeps us separate and blessed as children of God, we listen to error. Be forewarned. It will take its hold on us. May I say plainly and kindly that those who step outside the doctrine, the teachings of Jesus Christ, do not have God. That's plain. 2 John 9, whosoever transgresseth, that's to go beyond, and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ, does not stay within the teachings of Jesus, hath not God. Remember what Isaiah said? To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, there is no light in them. Oh, remember when Jesus was tempted of the devil? He'd been without food for 40 days. He's hungry. And the devil comes to him and he said, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones be turned into bread. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And then the devil takes him up to the pinnacle of the temple. And he says, cast yourself down, jump off, because it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and they will bear thee up, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. The devil quoting scriptures? And accurately? Absolutely. Listen, he's had 7,000 years to study the scriptures too. And he knows what they say. Remember those demons who said to Jesus, have you come to tempt us before time or to torture us before time? The devil uses scriptures too. Just because someone quotes the Bible does not mean they're right. We have to study to show ourselves approved. So sometimes we hear about our beloved digressive brethren, and I accept that they are brethren, but they are not in fellowship with God. They are not in fellowship with his children because they've gone beyond the doctrine of Jesus Christ. John says they don't have God. If they did, they would follow the doctrines of the Bible, but because they do not follow the doctrines foreign to the Bible, they have not God. Something else we're separate in. This is often a sticking point for some, and that's the way we appear. Godly dress. You know, one of the things that marks God's children is we have a new way of looking. We have a new look, a new appearance. And it's not the latest style from those of men. It's from God himself. You know, of course, that God made the human anatomy. And it is pure, and it is approved of God. In Genesis 1 and 26, God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And then down at verse 31, he said, God saw everything that he'd made, and behold, it was very good. Now God made everything. He made man, and that was good. Every time, that was good. Divided the light from the day, that was good. Caused the dry land to appear, that was good. He made the seas and the creatures, that was good. Made the birds that fly in the air, that was good. Made the creeping animals upon the earth, that was good. But when he made woman, and man and woman were united, God said, that's very good. What a blessing that God has given man and woman to be together, to love one another till death do us part. But you see, after the fall, when man transgressed against God's will, you remember how man tried to hide his nakedness with leaves made into an apron? But it wasn't sufficient, was it? The Bible says God took animal skins and clothed them. You got two people, Adam and Eve. Who's going to see them? Because God from the beginning did not intend for our bodies to be an object of lust, but an object of godliness. When we're separate unto God, it's a glory to you. Sisters, when you wear your hair long, when you let your hair grow, it's a glory to you. You're separated under the glory of God. God did not intend for his creation to be the object of obscenity and lust. And as it is today, many uphold it and approve of it. The Christian seeking to please God must carry out the will of God by being separate from the foolish and inadequate clothing that will cause many hurtful lusts and drown men in perdition. May I say, dear brethren, it is time we stop rationalizing and categorizing our sins in an attempt to excuse them. It is time we admitted that immodest apparel is sin and start dressing as God would have his children dress and not as the world would. Oh, don't you see? When our sisters in particular are dressed in a godly manner and they go out into public, there are still those, fewer as each generation passes, there are still those who will come up to you and ask, where do you go to church? Why? Because of the way you dress. Are you a Christian? Why? Because of the way you're dressed. Because you're modest. You have shamefacedness. You draw glory unto yourself and thereby draw glory unto God by being separate from all this foolishness in the world. And don't think the devil isn't tricky with this. I guess I'm a child of the 60s. I was born in 54. So I was 6 years old when the 60s got started. You remember how it was? 60s, 70s, 80s. In the 60s, the miniskirt was all the rage. And it left little to the imagination. Well, as the 60s began to wane, something else came on the scene, and that was pants made for women. And these were called pants suits, because the outer garment, the coat part of it, went all the way down halfway and more to the knees, because that would be decent. You know how long that lasted? Just till the water got hot. Suddenly, that just disappeared. I guess it wasn't indecent anymore, was it? He's headed somewhere with that. What do you suppose he's after? Having men dressed like women, not few, not many, but there were some men who put on dresses and skirts. Women dressing like men. Well, what came after that? Wasn't much longer till anything was the rage. Cross-dressing became a thing. Women dressing like men, men dressing like women. Wasn't very long till the homosexuals came out of the closet. Oh, they'd always been there, but now it was open. Now, dear friends, today, it's not just open, it's blatant. How did the devil get the world that far? 50 years ago, 60 years ago, he started working on us. You know how long it took him to get the Lord's Supper corrupted? Almost 100 years. You know how long it took for him to get Sunday school into the Lord's body? Almost 100 years. The devil's patient. And in order to arrive at the things that he knows are wrong and cause us to stumble, he's willing to bide his time, and little by little it becomes worse and worse. You don't have to be that way. You can be blessed, but you can be a blessing to other people. When people see you decent in the way you talk, in the way you walk, in the way you behave, they're encouraged by that. A fellow said to me, if you see an animal and it has feathers, kind of like a duck, and it waddles, you know, the funny walk that ducks have, kind of like a duck, and it quacks, kind of like a duck, it's probably a duck. If you see a Christian and they dress like the world, and they walk like the world, and they talk like the world, they're probably of the world. The mixed multitude fell a-lusting. They love God. They love what they were doing. They love God. They wanted the meat. And there it is. Come out from among them and be ye separate. Look at the blessing. Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. New life. Old sins passed away. New family. Whether you realize it or not, there are people who will take care of you all over this world simply because you're a member of the Lord's body. There are people who will take you into their home and they will treat you as though they were your mother. Simply because you're a Christian, a faithful Christian, a member of the church that is faithful to God. You've got a new family. You've got people that love you more than they love their flesh and blood family because you're a Christian. That's a blessing of being separate. You have new hope. This world becomes more and more hopeless, and we see disaster after disaster because people just give up. They give up hope, not for us. If we live, where are we going? Heaven. If we die and we're faithful, where are we going? Heaven. Oh, what a blessing then of being separated unto God. But God's dependence of us, his acceptance of us, is dependent upon our separation. Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. How can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. We have the blessing of having God as our Father. Listen to him again. And will be a father unto you. And you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Now, Paul could have said that. John could have said that. Many of the apostles could have said that. But Paul didn't say, I said it. He said, that's what the Lord said. And not just the Lord Almighty, the God of heaven. He called you daughter. He called you son. An incredible, incredible blessing that we, who deserve to die and be punished forever, would be called the children of God. This blessing alone is unspeakable. The depth of his love and care for our souls beyond our knowledge. The cause of Christ's death for our sins. The murderers have become sons and daughters. The blessing of purity and innocence. God said in Hebrews 8 and 17, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. For years, I thought that God said, I will forget their sins. He never did. And that's a shock. He never did. How can God forget when God doesn't have the ability? He's perfect. How can God become less of God? He can't. And that's why he uses this word, remember. You know what a member is. You're a member of the body of Christ. You're one of us. You know what a member of the body is. It's a little bitty finger, doesn't do much, but it's one of us. It's a member. take it off and it's no longer a member of the body. It's gone. You know what God said of your sin? I'll never put it back together again. I will never remember it. I will never rejoin that to my mind and think about what the awful things were that you did. I will remember no more. Not that he can't, but that he won't. What a blessing. The blessing of forgiveness, standing before God and being innocent. Come out, be separate, touch not, I will receive. Are you here this morning, not a Christian? Surely you must believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Having come to this place, at some level you have some acknowledgement. Do you know that Jesus Christ is not only God's only begotten Son, but that he died specifically for you? That he gave his life on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins? And that if we will believe in him and repent of our sins and confess our faith in him as the Son of God, we can be baptized, immersed in water for the forgiveness of our sins. Now, the water has no power to forgive us, but that's where God forgives us. It is the blood of Christ that forgives us, and it occurs when we're obedient in baptism. We're baptized into the death of Christ, and there, dear friend, is where we become the new man, the one with the blessings. We rise up out of the water, and all things have become new. We have a new hope. We have a new family. We have a new life. What a blessing in Christ. If you've not done that, won't you please do that? If you've done that, but you've not been faithful to God, won't you consider where you're at and what you're doing? And how much was paid for you? I think when the prodigal son lifts up his eyes in the hog pen, there amongst the hogs, slopping the hogs, we get a picture of what sin is. We took the choicest gift of heaven, God's only begotten Son. We took the best friendship we have ever had or ever will have. And we threw it in the hog slop. That's what happens when we leave the church. Oh, but such a blessing. God won't let you stay there if you'll be obedient. If you'll repent of your sin. Make up your mind. I'm wrong again. I'm not going to do this. Repent. Acknowledge that sin unto God. Confess your sin unto him. Not, oh, I made a mistake. Not, I did something I probably shouldn't have done. I sinned. If you will acknowledge your sin before him, he's promised to forgive you. Pray and ask him to do so. If you're subject, you want to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, or as a child of God, you've strayed, we beg you come as we stand and sing.